turn to the book of Job. No specific chapter yet. Job. So you don't have to turn a lot. I won't read any of scriptures when I first began, but you can turn. Go ahead and turn to chapter 42, the last chapter. So turn to Job chapter 42. The book of Job deals with many complex issues. Let me just give you a few just as a taste. Satan in the very presence of God. That's a complex issue.
Yes, sir.
The unholy one himself.
Yeah.
Suffered by the thrice holy God.
Exactly.
To enter into God's presence, and God converses.
Yeah.
With him.
Yes, he does.
I'm not here to try to explain that this morning. I'm just here to say that's a complex issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another. God brings up the subject of Job to Satan.
Yes, he does.
Having set a hedge about Job for years so that Satan couldn't touch Job.
That's right.
That's a complex issue. Number three, God suffered theft. Death by terrorism.
Yep.
We're acquainted with that, at least to some degree in our day. God suffered theft, death by terrorism, death and loss by natural disaster, and the very death of every one of Job's children.
Yes, sir.
God did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It could not be done.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that God Almighty suffered it to be done.
That's right.
That's just chapter one.
There you go.
That's just chapter one. There's another one. Rather than reinstituting the hedge.
Yeah.
About Job. Then God, Job is smitten with bottom to top boils. And on top of that, his wife turns on him.
Yeah.
I would say the love of his life.
Yeah.
In this world. She turns on him. Why don't you just, you still retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? I bet you their day was not a very pleasant day that day, don't you think? He said, you talk like the heathen women talk. That was his response to his wife.
Yeah.
That's just chapter two.
There you go.
Out of 42 chapters. Now give ear to me this morning. If you have an ear to hear, listen to what I am going to tell you this morning. This is not about pride. It's not about how much I know. This is about thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
And I cannot stand in front of you and hope that maybe I'm right. And maybe I'm telling you a few good things that might help you. Been trying to preach this gospel for almost 31 years now. And yet, to some people, I don't think anybody here, especially this morning, to some people, that matters not at all.
Right.
Spoke to a fellow one time about the electing love of God in Christ Jesus. He went home and told his wife. She told him, because he came back and repeated it to me, well, my wife said, that's not in the Bible. And I said, so she's a studier of the Bible, is she? He said, well, no. I said, well, but yet you'll take her word over mine.
There you go.
When he brought up the subject, not me.
There you go.
Give ear to what I say this morning. I'll give you three things, first of all, as kind of a primer. Do not. Listen to what I say. Do not fall into materialistic religion's trap of thinking the whole book of Job is about double blessings. You read the last part of chapter 42?
Oh, yeah.
Job received twice as much as he had before.
That's right.
And materialistic religion zeroes in on that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it says Job was comforted by that.
Yes, sir.
But let me give you just one thing to squash that into the ground in its materialism. How many of you would rejoice in God right now if God would tell you, I'm going to kill one of your children so you can have two more?
Exactly. There you go.
Oh, God, please do that for me. I'd rather have two than this one. Huh? How many of you? You're nothing but off your rocker. If you talk that way, that's not faith.
Yeah, you're
that's right. Not faith. That is not the purpose of the book of Job, nor is it the purpose of why Job went through what he went through.
Exactly. Right.
Do not fall into materialistic religion's trap of it's all about double blessings. God may give you double. He may give you less. He may leave you where you are. That's in his sovereign hands.
Yes, sir.
That's his business. Yeah. He may give you four times as much as you had before. That's his business. And it may comfort you concerning loss, but it will not be the reason for your testing.
That's right.
That's number one. Here's the second thing. God is not subject in any way to Satan or man's will or rebellion.
Exactly.
God Almighty is not just in control of it all. God Almighty ordains it all in the minutest detail.
Yes, sir.
Neither Satan nor man can rebel any further than what God Almighty has ordained for it to be done.
Amen.
That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
Number three. This is my title. It's quite a long one. Two things every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. Now you hear what I said? I make it that long because I want you to get it all. If you got an ear, listen to me. Two things every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. And we read these two things in chapter 42, the first six verses. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything.
Amen.
And not just that, because almost everybody gives lip service to that.
Yeah, you're right.
Not everybody, but many, I should say. But look what, and that no thought can be withholden from thee.
Amen.
You see that? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Remember, Job didn't have any scripture, far as we know. Far as we know. And most of the scholars, most of them, at least the conservative ones, feel that Job, the account of Job, took place even before the time of Israel. But be that as it may or may not be, Job acknowledges, I talked about things I didn't understand. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and that's an old English word that simply means to inquire or request. That's what it's talking about. Look it up yourself.
Yeah.
Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself.
Yeah.
And repent in dust and ashes. There's the whole purpose for what Job went through.
Amen.
Right there.
Right there. Yes, sir.
That's the whole Amen. Purpose of the account of the book of Job. It's seen in those six verses.
That's right.
So that's my title. Two things every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. Here they are. Number one, the first thing, that's verse 2. God is absolutely sovereign in all things.
Amen.
The reason this world, this especially this religious world, this professing Christian world, the reason they don't know anything about sovereignty, you mentioned the word sovereignty, you know why? They don't know him that way.
That's exactly right.
That's why it's a foreign language to them. Now granted, I've heard men that I never thought would use that word in our day, but when they define it, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, you're right.
Sovereignty is not relative. It is absolute.
Yes, sir.
Or it's not sovereignty.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the, you know, water is wet because water is water.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the thing. God is sovereign, and he is absolutely sovereign because he is God.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the things that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. God is absolutely sovereign in all things. Here's number two. Here's the second thing that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. I hate myself.
Yeah.
And I repent before God.
Amen.
That's in verse 6. Now Job acknowledges this to have been brought to him by experience. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear.
Yeah.
But now what? Now in light of all that's taken place in the whole book of Job.
Yes, sir.
All of it together. Not just one part, not just one pit, the whole thing together. But now mine eye seeth thee. Now listen to this. This is not ocular as opposed to verbal.
Yeah, you're right.
You get what I'm saying now? This is not just Job saying, I've heard of you in here, but now I've had some vision of you. Religion would love to just take that and say, oh, I had a vision. You know, I seen Jesus last night. No, they didn't.
Yeah, you're right.
They ate too much cheese and had a bad dream or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Satan himself may have appeared to them.
Yeah.
Remember, he comes as an angel of what? Light.
That's right.
No, this is not ocular. These as simply opposed to these, the ears. It's not ocular as opposed to verbal. This is verbal revelation being confirmed by what Job has experienced in his life circumstances. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
That's what Job's talking about here. Let me say it again. This is verbal revelation. I've heard of you by the hearing of my ears. But now mine eyes see thee. In other words, I know what the verbal revelation is. I know what others have told me.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that. I believe who God is by what I've heard from others who know him. But it's being confirmed in Job's experience by Job's life circumstances.
Yes.
Now, I have 4 points to give you as the body of my message. The fourth will be the summary. Number one. Believing the sovereign God as he is proclaimed in the gospel of Christ is vital to the first manifestation of saving faith. You hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Paul makes it clear, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yep.
But does that mean that anybody can just say, oh Lord, save me, and they're saved?
No.
Look at what he says. Now let me turn to it. So I don't want to misread that. Romans chapter 10. For whosoever, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? So this caller must be a believer first. You see it?
What's that?
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard.
That's right.
You got to hear first before you can believe. And you got to believe before you can call in this way.
Yeah.
You see, in this way.
Exactly.
And how shall they hear without a proclaimer, a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written. And Paul said, this is not new.
Yeah.
It's not something I've come up with. This is God's ordained way. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But we know there's a problem, but they've not all obeyed the gospel. Everybody who hears it with these don't obey, do they?
That's right. Yeah.
For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, that does not discredit anything Paul said thus far. He's simply bringing up a problem in man.
Exactly.
But look, so then faith cometh by hearing. Cometh in what way? Cometh to manifestation. Not cometh into being. Faith is a quality of God himself.
Yeah.
Faith is eternal. It is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
But it comes out to manifestation. You want to use the word cometh, that's fine. It's put in there, but it has to be cometh in what way? It cometh to manifestation. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you cannot just hear someone's opinion about God and faith be manifested. You have to hear what God says about God. But what God's going to do is send some other sinner just like you. He will send them to you to tell you who God really is.
Yes,
why? Because that's the way God's ordained it.
Yep.
And Job knowed that. Job, back then.
That's right.
I've heard of thee with the hearing of my ear. This experience cannot be bypassed. You understand what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
Well, what about so-and-so? Don't try to play games with God.
There you go.
Don't worry about so-and-so. Yeah. Worry about thus saith God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Therefore, that's how you want to hear it. Somebody, God will send somebody to you to preach it to you. In some form.
Yeah.
In some form. This cannot be bypassed. But secondly, here's the second thing. Believing the sovereign God as His sovereignty is experienced in our everyday lives is the ongoing manifestation that the faith that we claim to have is the result of saving grace and not the result of something else. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
Believing the sovereign God as His sovereignty is experienced in our everyday lives is the ongoing manifestation that the faith we claim to have is the result of saving grace and not the result of something else. The devils believe and tremble.
That's right.
In John 8, many believed when He spoke to him, and it says specifically they believed in Him. They said, we think that's the Messiah.
Yep.
That's Him. Yep. But as He continued to speak, what happened? They wanted to kill Him. And He, knowing this was going to take place, even told him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It's not just making a start.
Yeah.
It's how you continue and how you finish.
That's right.
In other words, troubles, and that's the whole thing we see in the book of Job, isn't it? Troubles.
Oh, yeah.
Life circumstances. Hell on earth, if you want to use it metaphorically, so to speak. Troubles drive true faith to Christ, not away from Christ. Now, it doesn't make the believer perfect. Go back and read. Job started to brag on himself when his three buddies started to condemn him, or saying, Job, you got some kind of secret life. Job began to brag on himself a little. But it didn't drive him away from his Redeemer. He said, even in the midst of all this, Mason, I know that my Redeemer, he knew he needed one.
Exactly.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand in the latter day on the earth, and I'll see Him with my own eyes.
That's right.
I'll see Him with my own eyes. He cried out this, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him.
Amen.
But he said, I'll still retain my integrity before Him. Huh? But yet, the whole point is, true faith, accompanied with all of the circumstances of life, drives true faith is driven to Christ by those circumstances rather than away from Christ by those circumstances. That's number two. Number three, saving faith, which is the result of saving grace. Mark that down. That's doctrinal.
Yeah.
That's true. Saving faith, which is the result of saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not vice versa.
Exactly.
You don't get grace by coming up with faith or even exercising faith.
Right.
It is because God Almighty has shown you grace that you have saving faith.
Exactly.
Saving faith, which is the result of saving grace, is accompanied by self-abhorrence.
Yes, sir.
Wherefore?
Yeah.
Wherefore I hate myself. That's the language.
Yes, sir.
And I repent in dust and ashes.
Amen.
Paul said it, Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And David McCollum, you never get over that until he's going to make us in his likeness, and then we'll be done with that. But not until.
Exactly.
True faith, since it is the result of saving grace, always cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Everything that happened to Job was to bring him to experience those two things.
Yes, sir.
Didn't Paul say in Philippians chapter 3, the first few verses, he said, we're the circumcision, we worship God in the Spirit. You beware them. You beware them other people out there.
That's right.
And that's what people say, but you're too hard on people. I'm not hard enough. I'm not near as hard as the God of this book is.
That's exactly
right. I'm far too compromising than the God of this book is. Far more
right.
than he. You know, he doesn't compromise at all. Paul talks about the severity of God.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Why? Unbelief.
That's right.
And one of the hallmarks of unbelief is not receiving the historical record of the Bible, is denying who God is. We've just talked
exactly.
about that today. Yeah. It's denying who God is. Job has said, "Lord, I've heard of you, but I've heard in my ears, but now mine eye sees thee. And because of that, I hate myself." You see that? And again, let me finish what Paul said. We're the circumcision that worship Christ Jesus. Worship in the Spirit, we bow to Christ. And what? And have no, and have how much? No, and have how much? No confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Now, if you have no confidence in it, do you think you like it?
Exactly.
If there's something you don't have no confidence in, I figure it's going to be on the negative side. And what is it we have no confidence in? Even our flesh.
Exactly.
Paul said in that same chapter again, Romans 7, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing."
Amen.
That's the two things that every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. God's absolutely sovereign in all things. And I hate me. I hate me. You all remember the one preacher. You might not have directly heard him. He said, "You can't love God if you don't love yourself." That's a lie.
You're right.
Only those who truly hate themselves truly love God.
Exactly.
Job said it. "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and because of that I hate myself.
Amen.
And I repent in dust and ashes." Told you it's going to be quick. Here's my summary. Here's number four. This is it. It's not about how much I say. It's about God Almighty's Spirit applying it to each and every one of our hearts.
Yes,
and allowing us, causing us, bowing us down by His grace to give Him glory in every circumstance in our life.
Yes,
the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. And what is the answer to that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job not only knew to say that because what he heard after he went through all this, David McCollum, he knew that's what it's got to be.
Yes, sir.
There is no other alternative. It wasn't until after that, Job, that Job started realizing some of these double portions, was it?
Exactly.
Now, here's the fourth thing. This is my summary. Human religious faith, when it encounters all the severe circumstances of life, bucks and kicks and denies and mocks. One or other, or maybe a combination of all those things. But human religious faith will buck and kick and deny and mock. We've just seen this past week. That one of our very own, by profession, who said they wanted to be a part of this group and was baptized, said, "You people talk about love, but all you preach is hate." Well, let me tell you something. Our God hates as well as loves.
Right.
And I will declare His character as long as He gives me grace and breath to do so. And may that be true for you as well. And if my wife, like Job's, turns on me, so be it. If I turn on her because so be it. Right?
Indeed.
Stand true to God no matter what the circumstances are. Why? Because human religious faith will buck and kick and deny and mock. Saving faith bows down before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even when it groans and has to scrape itself with a piece of broken pot.
There you go.
Not it.
Yes, sir.
It bows down to Christ. That's the difference. These two things, every believer is brought to acknowledge by experience. Father, teach us these things. And I know in asking that, we may be asking for trouble. But God Almighty, by your grace, you'll bow us unto Jesus Christ to give glory to you in him and through him and by him forever. In his name I ask it. Amen.